TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Mike Ryan on today's news talk radio. TNT. TNT.
Good afternoon, Tim.
Hello.
Sorry, I was just wondering what day it is. Could you please tell me?
I believe it's Thursday.
You know, it feels like a Wednesday, I have to tell you. Now, that's because I didn't start till Tuesday because Jeremy was filling in. But it does feel like a Wednesday, doesn't it?
It's because you're slacking off.
Thanks, mate. Just before we get into the program, tell me this. Do you think NATO, do you think all the countries plus Australia, and including the US, of course, do you think they're psychotic or psychopaths? I mean, here they are. First of all, Russia, terrible Russia. It shot at this village with 400 people a missile or two missiles. Anyway, it works out that it wasn't Russia, it was Ukraine. And so then they say, well, it's still Russia's fault. Now, back to the question, do you think they're psychopaths?
Well, they are, because it shows you exactly what their intentions are, and that's to start a war. If they go directly to, it's Russia's fault, let's all jump on the bandwagon and start beating Russia over the head. And it's clearly not. I mean, anyone with half a brain cell can... Oh, wait, hold on. That's right. They elected someone that doesn't have brain cells. Oh, no.
But the whole world...
That's why it's happening.
Look at in Australia, Anthony Albanese, the pretend prime minister. Because he's terrible. He's just terrible. He does what the caucus says. Then you got Penny Wong. And when she first started, she's our foreign affairs minister here. And she was, I thought she was pretty well spot on when she first started her job a couple of months ago. Anyways, now she's lost the plot. And they're all still blaming Russia.
Penny who?
That's right. Wong. She's the Wong person. But she, I mean, I'm just thinking though, it's... Why, first of all, the world needs to know, they need to know that it was not Russia that started this. It's a proxy war on behalf of the West, behalf of Joe Biden. They want to plonk some missiles and other things in Ukraine. And Russia says no. But Ukraine, with the support of the West, fired about 170 missiles into Russian territory. And Russia said, no, you can't do that. Anyway, we're here now to this point. And it seems to be, I mean, I said to George Eliason yesterday, will this thing stop soon because the truth is coming out? And he said, no, quite the opposite. It's a war. They want to have it continue. And it's pretty, even at your young age, I mean, this is a, this thing is just a bit like Gone with the Wind, but not as enjoyable. And it's just, it's not going to stop. I mean, we even have the Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, and they were all lauding her, saying what a great Prime Minister she is and going to do that. She's part of the WEF, and this is what she says: Italy believes it does not make much difference if the missile that caused a deadly explosion in Poland was not Russian, because Moscow is still to blame for attacking infrastructure in Ukraine. Do you mind just getting on the line, giving her a call, Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, and just tell her that in a war, which is started by the West, by the way, NATO, don't tell anybody that, part of the war is to... Is she on the line? No, she won't talk to
us. She won't pick up.
No, it's just typical, isn't it? Mm. But, what you do is you take out the infrastructure, you take out the bits that make a country work, especially the military side of things. So that's what Russia is doing. Now, they could stop this if they wanted to, but they don't want to. They do not want peace. And I think Patrick Henningsen would agree. I mean, who else? George, of course, would agree. and everybody else agrees except the governments. And of course, we know why they don't want to agree, because they're joined at the hip with the US. Now, here's another thing. We have apparently Hillary Clinton may be running for president, and James O'Neill, he is an intrepid reporter, and because she has perhaps some news.
In the aftermath of Donald Trump's announcement of his 2024 presidential candidacy, the nation was frozen with fear as word began to spread that former First Lady, New York Senator, Secretary of State, failed presidential candidate, election denier, legendary assassin Hillary Clinton was preparing to make a major announcement of her own. "We're still awaiting details of what this announcement might be," said conservative blogger Geriatric. "We can only assume that this has something to do with her own candidacy for president, which would give us the Titanic rematch that absolutely no one asked for and everyone hoped we would never experience." In a late-night post to his True Social account, Trump welcomed the possibility of facing Hillary again.
"Hi there. Are you interested in the White House?
I may not win the first, the second, or the third time, but we're going to keep at it."
Crooked Hillary Clinton would be my second favorite opponent in 2024, behind only sleepy Joe Biden himself, Trump said. "I already defeated them both, despite having my wonderful landslide re-election stolen." "If Hillary wants some more, she can come and get it. Also, my pantsuits are much more flattering. Everyone says so. MAGA." When asked for comments regarding a possible Hillary Clinton candidacy, President Joe Biden expressed total confusion as to who this Harry Clinton and David Trump people were before being quickly ushered away by his caretakers.
I was going to put him in...
At publishing time, the entire nation breathed a collective sigh of relief when it was revealed that Hillary's announcement was, in fact, just a renewal of her Apple TV series with daughter Chelsea, in which they travel across the country, frightening ordinary citizens. Back to you, Mike. Oh,
thanks very much. By the way, normally we do satire. Who knows? Who knows this day and age? I mean, look at the US. Talk to Mike Netta shortly about the US. And if you would like to emigrate somewhere else, just leave. I mean, the only country in the world where you can vote in a dead person. Fetterman's still alive, isn't he? And there was a dead person. Look at Arizona. We'll talk to Mike Netta about that soon, about the travesty of justice. Anyway, it's a terrible place to be at the moment if you want to find sensible people, except for Mike Netta. Now, for a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of almost credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, right here on TNT Radio.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Now, British consumer prices saw a surge of 11.1% in October, smashing a 41-year high and exceeding analyst projections as the UK struggles with soaring food, transport and energy costs. Jeremy Beck is one of our smashing news producers on TNT Radio. Sounds like Sean Connery. No, is he alive? Jeremy, is Sean Connery alive?
Sean Connery? Good question. I haven't been following him recently.
I mean, for his sake, I hope he is.
Yes.
Anyway, yes, tell us about the 11.1% rise in October, smashing the 41-year-old high.
Yeah, well, Mike, I think this is very significant. The figure of 11.1% for October is actually the yearly inflation rate measured in October. The figure for the previous month, September, was 10.1%. So in a period of just 1 month, the annual inflation rate has risen by a full percentage point from 10.1% to 11.1%. So that's a big change in a matter of space of 1 month. Now, these figures are from the UK Office for National Statistics, and the 11.1% figure was more than expected. Actually, economists polled by Reuters forecast the figure would be 10.7%. Rising prices of electricity, gas, and other fuels have been the major driver. And statistics, the statistics office, that is, emphasised that inflation would have grown to nearly 13.8% if the government hadn't intervened to put a cap on the price of household energy bills to £2,500 per year on average. That's the cap. Mm. Over the past year, gas prices have climbed nearly 130%, while electricity has risen around 66%. So they're very significant increases, Mike, the energy component, but there are others obviously too. And energy flows on into so many things in the economy anyway.
It does indeed. What about the Bank of England's latest projections? Is for the recession to continue through the first half of 2024. How do you think that's going to go down with Rishi and his other mob of... they weren't... You know, I mean, first of all, Sunak, as Joe says, Sunak, which is somebody from Bali he met on a rickshaw. Anyway, he, because that's where Joe Biden is right now, and the whole lot of them are in Bali. Are they still in Bali, by the way?
I believe so. The meeting's over several days.
Bit of surfing.
Not too sure when that finishes.
Roll a few joints. Yeah, have a bong. Hey, Joe. Hey, man. Anyway, it's I've got to grab here. I'll play for you in a second. But this is Joe Biden having been surfing at in Bali. But what about how is the government approaching this terrible news? Because they knew about it anyway, but how are they approaching it publicly?
Well, they haven't done very much, and they have themselves to blame. And also, not just the government, it's the Bank of England policy, which is an long-going policy. From 2009 to 2021, the Bank of England bought £895 billion worth of bonds through quantitative easing. So it's effectively money printing. You just create money out of thin air. Most of that sum, £875 billion, was used to buy UK government bonds, and there were £20 billion used to buy UK corporate bonds. Mm-hmm. The monetary policy pretty much happens behind the scenes anyway, no matter which government, if you have Labor or Conservative. But the Conservatives cannot blame Labor. They have a clear majority in the Parliament, in the House of Commons. The minor parties, like the Scottish Nationalist parties, are fairly insignificant in terms of the political clout. Conservatives hold by far the majority of seats in the House of Commons. And the Conservatives have been in government for over a decade. So they can't say, we've just been handed a disaster from Labor. Well, that was a long time ago. So they haven't really got a plan, but nor does the Labor would be probably worse. So it's quite a daunting thing for the British public to be facing such incompetence within their government.
Maybe they should say, look, maybe we should maybe not get involved in a false narrative, which is the war in Ukraine. Maybe we should just say, look, we're not going to give any more money to Zelensky and his henchmen. Maybe they should start practicing diplomacy, which is probably what their job's all about, and sit down with Russia, the enemy, the arch enemy. Sit down with them and say, look, look here, mate. We ain't got any money left, and we need to get back to being adults. And maybe, by the way, they should put their hand up and say, look, we really didn't mean to blow up Nord Stream 2. It was just there, and we thought, why the hell not? I mean, maybe they just need to grow up, because at the moment, governments around the world, I mean, if they were children in our day, they would have got a box in the ears and told to grow up. Maybe that's what is needed right now, Jeremy.
Yes, well, they would have been sat in the corner in the naughty corner.
I've done that many times.
It's a sad state of affairs, really, Mike. The leadership is just disgraceful. And you're right about the war issue. That is also a very big part of the price rises, mm-hmm. Gas and other energy costs. So if they didn't get involved in Ukraine, they certainly wouldn't have had as bad as inflation as they do now.
Can you just tell me, because you're a man of great experience and knowledge, can you just tell me why is Bill Gates and why is, Klaus Schwab at the G20 conference or get-together?
Yeah, well, the G20 is the top 20 economies in the world.
Yes, but why is Klaus there for? It was Klaus Schwab. I mean, is he government?
No. And that's the point I was coming to. In addition to the top 20 economies, nations in the world, there are several other members, including the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank. There's a whole lot of different institutions are there, and obviously other influential people, as Bill Gates.
You know, I reckon the reason why Klaus was there, Klaus Schwab, don't mention the war, I think he was there because it was like a school get-together. You know, all the past students of WEF got together and said to Klaus, why don't you pop along? You were the prefect. You're the one that taught us all the tricks of the trade, you know, the stuff that's destroying the world right now, making it your kingdom. By the way, just before we go, I said I'd find you this grab. Now, this is, apparently it's real, Joe Biden, and some say he's not really a cool dude in Bali, especially on the beaches. You get, you know, the beach there, which is not bad, I suppose, but you got people riding bikes and you got, you know, hot, steamy weather, people wearing, you know, those, you know, khaki shorts without underpants, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible sight, especially if you're sitting down. But Joe Biden, actually, after surfing, apparently he rolled a joint, okay? And this is just what he said. And you might think that I'm joking, but listen to this. And if I'm wrong, then I'll go he. I mean, listen to this. He sounds like a guy that's just gone through a couple of kilos of weed, man.
I can't have trouble reading this.
That's right.
Reuters. No, Reuters. About both.
So, prove me wrong.
It's hilarious, isn't it?
Hey, Joe! Look, that's a great song too, by the way, from, what was his name? Hey, Joe. I can't think of his name. A big Afro haircut. Jimi Hendrix. How terrible of me. But I think Joe Biden, I mean, truly, he needs to go stay in Bali and roll himself a big bundle every day. Look, Jeremy, thank you for putting up with this dribble. This is TNT Radio.
Trevoy Morich on TNT Radio.
The biggest story for me, being a Mexican here in Mexico, is Samuel Garcia, governor of Nuevo León. I liked him before he became governor, actually. He seemed like someone that was going to fight tyranny. This is the crazy thing. He was at COP27, the Green Agenda, the climate change meeting. This guy came out and said he wants to get rid of automobiles in his state and give preference to public transport. For 2 years, I've been banging on about that. I see it here in the state of Jalisco. Our governor is also captured total globalist. I've got the white papers. If you can email me if you want me to send them to you. They all say Rockefeller funded a resilient city, cashless, free crime, get rid of cars. You can only use the digital payment cards. You can't use cash. So if you misbehave, you can't even ride the public transport after they take the car away from you. So it's going on. This is what's going on. These are, you got to identify these mayors, these governors, not just presidents, captured by the globalists. Absolutely crazy. Boils my blood.
Trevoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
They had an absolute legitimate
meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer?
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Go back.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of choice, freedom of assembly, freedom of health. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
Just thought about it. Freedom of movement. There's plenty of freedom of movement at the G20 get together. I mean, plenty of movement. I mean, bodily function is working overtime. Of course, they're feeding all that to the rest of the world. And now our research department, Ruckus and also Hesher, have told me that Sean Connery did die, in fact. Very sad for him. And he's not very happy about that smashing time. He apparently, according to our other researcher, Hesher, and part-time presenter, he also said that he died in 2020. I used to know a guy, I won't say his name, and Tony, who's passed away, by the way, lovely fellow. He used to tell us that he was in a movie with Sean Connery, because he's in a bunch of TV shows and movies. Anyway, he made that part up. So we used to crack a little joke that Tony will finally one day have another starring role with Sean Connery. And apparently he's most likely doing that now. Smashing time. Now, the last week was predictable. The polls were off. No red wave eventuated. Serious fraud by Democratic donors. Election irregularities. And Orange Man, he was really bad. That's what I think. He's great. You leave him alone. Now, the real villains pretty well got away with it, didn't they? Mike Netta is the vice chair of Rebuild California and is a veteran of distribution, sales, and marketing. He's done all sorts of stuff in California, knows politics backwards, got a wonderful sense of humor, sharp wit. And I'm talking about Mike Netta. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Well, Mike, it's a pleasure. I'm sure you came back from your hiatus just to talk to me. I'm glad I inspired you to return to TNT Radio.
No, you are very inspiring, let me tell you. Look, first of all, elections. I mean, it's not – people say, oh, what a shock. Yeah, the red wave didn't happen. They didn't fix anything up from the first round when Trump, had it stolen. So therefore, they had the same machines, same people, blah, 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 blah. Why do you think it's such a shock to people that this is the result that has occurred?
I think the biggest problem with the National Republican Party is they don't pay attention to California. What? Yes, you heard correctly. Part of the challenge, first off, yes, we had more of a red ripple than a red wave. But before we go there, we did take back the House, which is about as rare as, finding a diamond in my backyard. And I've looked, Mike, and I don't have any. It's just hard for the Republicans to take the House. But the reality is this, that as long as the Republican National Party concedes California, they fight an uphill battle to begin with. Whether you like it or not, as Gavin says, we're still 12% of the population. And even with a bunch of people moving out before the U.S. Census, it's 52 congressional seats. And they don't pay attention. to the state offices below. So again, although we're picking up congressional seats in California, we're not picking up state assembly and state senate offices, so next round becomes harder. This is shocking news, what actually happened here. I mean, Katie Porter, who is kind of, you know, one of those up-and-coming stars of the Democratic Party, is in a close battle with a guy named Scott Baugh, which you never thought would happen. New York actually flipped, New York City actually flipped two seats Republican. So when you take a real good look at this election, it hinges on California and the things that are happening or not happening out here. But I want to give a special shout out before we roll to the next break here to my buddy Kevin Kiley, who literally was the 218th seat that took the Republicans over the top. He's young, he's inspiring, and he worked with us during the recall of Gavin Newsom at 35. There's lots of good news to report, but shocking news, the polls missed it entirely, mainly because of voter turnout in California.
Mm-hmm. We'll go to a news break, then I'll come back, and I want to play you something from Brazil. And this is what should have happened in the US. This is TNT Radio.
Taking a look at your TNT Radio news headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. Chinese President Xi Jinping has publicly confronted the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at the G20 summit in Bali over claims he leaked sensitive information about their informal bilateral meeting. United States Republicans have regained control of the House of Representatives, securing a narrow majority in a midterm election. And up to 40,000 mink have been set loose in northwestern Ohio after vandals broke into a farm and released them from their cages.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
And my guest is Mike Netter. Now, I said I'd play you something. Tens of thousands of Brazilians wearing yellow and green, the colours of the national flag, gathered Tuesday across the country to protest against President Bolsonaro's defeat in last month's election and asking for the armed forces to intervene. Now, 2 weeks have passed since former leftist President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva beat Bolsonaro in one of the tightest presidential races with just 50.9% of the votes. The media is ignoring it, but I just want to play the grab. Why? And you tell me why America is not doing this. Oops, not that one. Sorry about that. I've just lost it. I had it here 1 second ago. And here it is. Okay, it was an absolute huge, huge turnout. And they're protesting over an election that was stolen. Where's America? Why aren't they doing the same thing? Because the same thing didn't happen just once 2 years ago. It's happened again now. And the next presidential election, you could put Fetterman up and he would win. Hang on, he did win.
But he wouldn't know it. But
no,
anyway.
But you guys still vote for dimwits like this.
Here's the problem. The problem is that in the United States, and I can't speak for Brazil, we have a multitude of election systems that aren't really understood. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's part of the challenge that we have. And part of the challenge that we have here, and I want to add something here, in Australia, and I realize you have compulsory voting down there, I believe. I don't know how well they enforce it. But in Australia,
strictly, for example.
Okay, well, you have, and I'm not proposing that for America, but let me get to my point here. United States ranks 39th out of 48 countries that they track in voter turnout, Mike. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, okay? So that is 39th out of 48. So in this magical big-time election, which people like you and I are like, oh, my God, you have to pay attention. And in Brazil, frankly, conditions are so bad, they riot in the streets because they care. The problem we have in the United States is California, are you ready for this? Before they finished counting the mail-in ballots, had a 27% turnout. In the mighty Los Angeles, which you discussed many a time, mm-hmm. the turnout was 21%. Now, it increases as they manufacture, count ballots. But did I say manufacture? Oh, yes, I did. Never mind. Slip of the tongue. But my point is, we'll be lucky to get up to about 48%. This is actually a reason, but I'm going to jump around in subjects here, that Trump is actually good for democracy. And that strikes a lot of people as strange when I say that this last week. But the biggest turnout, the most people that cared, was the 2020, and yes, parts of it were stolen and parts of it were inept and corrupt, and let's not go conspiracy theory. But the reality is, nobody in any election anywhere wins unless you show up. And in California and in the Florida is entirely red. They had one of the biggest turnouts for a midterm ever at 50% because their people showed up. The United States isn't up in arms about this because it's only cores of people that really pay attention and understand to it. They tend to read the mainstream press. They read the leftist narrative mm-hmm. and they say, oh, you know, why bother to vote? Some of the conservatives are like, hey, it's fixed. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something which I find very fascinating. In the last 2 years that Trump's been out of office, in my history, which is more than a year, Mike, because I'm older than five, I have never, ever, ever heard of an ex-president, frankly, of any country, getting as much press as Donald Trump does when he's not even running. Mm. So this announcement this Tuesday at least is going to get more people engaged, even if they want to come out to vote against him. They like his policies. And at least gets more people engaged. Trump is good for democracy because democracy works because we don't have compulsory voting here. You're supposed to be taken off the rolls if you don't vote for two consecutive elections. And I was supposed to have been 6'4" and hit a baseball 400 feet. Neither one is working out. OK, we don't take people off the rolls. We leave them on the rolls. So there is a penalty if you don't vote. We have to get more people to vote. And this is the problem that the Republicans have and the pollsters, frankly, with the pollsters coming going, oh, my God, I can't believe we got it wrong again. And the Republicans are going, oh, my. Now, look, the Republicans didn't have as bad an election. We're still getting 222, 223, 224 seats in the House. Mm. Not bad. Yes, we're behind in the Senate. I get it. OK, but
I think
the reality is that. Go ahead.
No. The reality is, I thought you dropped out, so I was just doing a professional.
Yeah, that's okay. No, because I was told to turn on a little bit of interference on the line here. Cable repairman looks like Gavin Newsom. The reality is this: that the pollsters always call and talk to people, and they say of those most likely to vote, and I think. I've had this conversation with you before. Shocking news, people lie. The pollsters have never talked to anybody who doesn't intend to vote, and then they don't. This, by the way, when we talk election corruption, is one of the major problems that we have in California and throughout the country. And that in California especially, right, the left is like, we're going to mail out ballots to everybody. You know, we're going to mail one to all 22 million voters. And the conservatives are like, no, don't do that. They don't talk like that, but there's a couple of people here that do, and they're conservatives. And they say, well, it's going to increase voter turnout. Look what this is going to do for voter turnout. It doesn't. This is the third election in a row we've mailed ballots to everybody, and voter turnout has not gone up. It went up in the presidential election because of Donald Trump versus Biden. But you want to hear a freaky statistic? And it's not about my high school days. It's about the election. That the primaries which normally should have about 20-30% less people voting than in the general, right? We have these primaries and you get out of your bracket. It's about dead even in California. It looks like about 10.7 million people out of 22 million registered voters voted in the primaries, and we'll be lucky to hit 11 million in the general. So the reality is mailing ballots out to everybody doesn't work in California. And what's worse, even for certain states which do it, like Utah, which is a very conservative state, but your ballot has to be in the hands of the Board of Registers by Election Day. In California, we go, hey, postmark it, or somebody who looks like a postman, send it in on Election Day. Maybe we'll look at the postmark, and we'll accept them kind of sort of up to 7 days afterwards. That's a bad look and allows for lots of things to go wrong and lots of room for, quote, the other side to cheat. But it's not even increased doing what the left narrative says it will, increasing voter turnout. That's why Trump, in a way, no more than in a way, is really good for democracy, because democracy, we're not going to have compulsory voting over here. But what we can do is get people engaged by getting them to care and tick off. Took Mike, I think you don't care about gas, go ahead.
Now, just thinking the democracy, I mean, here we have compulsory voting to vote democratically for a particular party or person to run the country. That itself is a contradiction, because if you have democracy, then you don't have compulsory voting, because you should have your own choice. Look, I've got to ask you something, and somebody just sent us a chat in, a quick message, and it's true. When Donald Trump was president and he got COVID, and Vladimir Zelenko prescribed him hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, and he got well. And it was because Trump took it, the media went after him and killed a very good and very safe drug, because it was Trumpy. Trump took that, he did that. Now, Trump is now supporting the vaccines. And there is so much evidence right now, so much coming out, that one, we're still in a trial, and a trial should go for 7 or 8 years, not using gene technology, mRNA technology, to destroy someone's body in the hope that it will fix you up at the same time. So looking at the contentious issue, at the number of follow-ups that have had any more than two, and that itself is a scary thing, but to have governments and entities mandating that you have to have that to go to school, you have to have that to work at a particular place. If you don't have the vax, then you're a second-rate citizen, you're stupid, blah, 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 blah. Do you think because there's such a huge groundswell now, and it's getting bigger and bigger as more evidence comes out, do you think Trump would be wise to shut the hell up and not to talk about how great the vax was? Because that's one thing. Even though he was taking the advice from the medical authorities, those that worked at the White House, they actually deceived him, and they've admitted that they deceived him. So maybe to make his election campaign even better and more secure for the outcome, he should just not talk about the vaccine as being the great savior, because evidence and science now shows it isn't the great savior.
Couldn't agree more that he shouldn't make that an issue, but let me kind of pile on a couple things here, right? One, it's very interesting that I don't know what the number is. Let's say 200 million Americans or 100 million Americans took some version of the vaccine, etc. Now I have great news. After all this is done, they decided to do trials and testing on it. What? I mean, you read that the other day, you're like, well, maybe you might have done that first. It's also very bizarre, by the way, in case you don't know it, that federal employees weren't required to take a vaccine. But here's really a micro, in terms of the world, but not in terms of America, an extra disgusting portion of this. California, and I think you know this, if not, just play along, Mike.
Okay.
passed a law that says doctors that disagree with any mainstream medical advice when it comes to COVID can have their license to practice medicine yanked in California.
Yep.
So you're like, so if I go to my doctor and he says, dude, if you're going to commit suicide, use the Second Amendment. Don't, you know, he can't tell me anymore, allegedly, to use these alternative things. So, yes, Trump should probably shut up about it. But again, I want to be clear on something when we talk about Trump. And this has come up more and more and, of course, gets lost in the press. Trump's been talking about it. He talked about it when he made his announcement the other day. By the way, calling out my man, Kylie. Calling him out in a good sense because he was the one that took it over the house there. But he also said, which I've been saying for a while, not that he got it from me, make America great again, or the Trump is a movement. It's really not just based on one person. The good news is we have a politician in Trump that, again, is dynamic enough to bring, let's say, half the country together and galvanize them if we don't end up eating ourselves up. You've got a president named Biden, allegedly. Biden may not know his name's Biden, but they remind him daily, who literally, it's very hard for anybody to get behind. Not put the liberal policies aside for a second. He's just on a galvanizing politician. And this is the challenge we have here today in America. Trump is galvanizing and polarizing, and that helps the MAGA movement, which helps us get by these things.
Yes, but he needs a better music director. If I hear that, what was it, the Village People? I mean, and he dances like you. Just dreadful. Now, don't go away, because I'm going to play you something. Oh, hang on, there's Joe. Joe, what do you, what, another doobie, Joe?
I can't have trouble reading this.
And that's your president, by the way, Mike Netter. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I haven't said a whole lot about the climate conference going on over in Egypt. As a matter of fact, what I did was I put an old Saturday Night Live skit with Steve Martin doing King Tut on so I could get a big laugh out of that. But Mark Morano and Craig Rucker have been over there talking about it quite a bit. And of course, it was a big deal. It was a big deal because of the lack of any progress that was really made. And the reason no progress is really being made is people are waking up to this one way or the other. First of all, if they're believing that there's global warming, a lot of the more underdeveloped countries are saying, whoa, 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 how come we have to suffer with this? And then there are other people that don't believe that this is the big disaster coming, but they all got together, had a nice time, saw the pyramids, saw the Sphinx and whatever was going on over there. It's just too bad their carbon footprint was so high. This is TNT Weather Watchdog, Climate Watchdog also. I keep getting this outro mixed up. Joe Bastardi, I do know my name, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking
to... Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. TNT.
And now Joe Biden is your president, and he's I've played you some little grabs before, but he's over in Bali right now, and he actually is doing some...
I heard they have good stuff over there, dude. That's probably why I went to visit.
What do you think, Joe? There he is again. There he is. Just, but your president, though, your president, Joe Biden, has, well, I'll play this. He's sort of gone missing.
All right. Joe Biden flew all the way to Asia to meet with world leaders. It hasn't gone very well. Tonight, Joe Biden held a roundtable with G20 leaders. He looked dazed and confused throughout the event. He also refused to answer a question about the apparent rocket attack in Poland. Then the video feed went down. And last night, Joe Biden bailed on the G20 gala dinner. He went back to his hotel room. We still have no idea why exactly he did that. According to the White House, quote, the president had just spent a full day of meetings and needed to attend to a few items tonight. I wonder what items needed attending to. They didn't say. So where the heck is Joe Biden and what is wrong with him? There's a lot going on in the world tonight. We'd like to know.
Now, we're only a short hop, skip and jump from Bali. I'm just, Joe! No, he's not here. Where the heck is Joe Biden? Does he know where Joe Biden is?
I was taught not to pick on my elders unless they're in politics. So let's cut it out. Okay. Joe Biden should not be president. Here's the part of the reality where I think this wave, as you speak it, is a little bit better than most people think. Joe Biden is, how old, 80-something,
80? No, 80 today. Today.
Okay. 80
Happy
today.
Birthday, today's to birthday. Your...
Damn it. I forgot to call him. Well, he didn't notice. Okay.
80
You've got
years
Nancy
old.
Pelosi, who's probably a hologram, but let's still assume she's real, leading the House at,
That's Nancy,
what, 80,
a drink.
84, okay? Our other senator... And Mike, you can't make this up. This relates back to the Biden story. The senator from California, Dianne Feinstein.
Oh, she's 300.
Well, not quite. That's not exaggerated. She's 90. But here's the funny part.
She looks 300.
She looks 300. Everybody admits she has a problem. She's 90 years old.
So does Nancy.
And in two more years, she says, or somebody does for her, she's planning to run for re-election. And you're like... First off, what do these people eat, or who are their stunt doubles?
Or
who,
what are they smoking?
Why should take it up then, dude? Because to be honest with you, if they're still trucking, I hope I'm trucking around at 90 years old. Like, pass it, man. Didn't work for Bob Marley. Maybe it works for them. I don't know. All I can tell you is this: this constant thing of where's Biden? Why isn't he coming? He seems senile. Really? What a flipping shock.
Now, let me tell you
this. We have this election cycle, though. When you even talk people like Kevin McCarthy is going to lead the House. And to be candid, I'm an 80% McCarthy fan. Let's just leave it at that. I've met Kevin McCarthy. He's okay. He wouldn't be my first choice, but it is what it is. But at least you're not eligible for Medicare, okay? We have some politicians this cycle, like Kevin Kiley, I'm going to mention his name again, who have come up through the legislature, are 35 years old, you see what I mean, and stand a chance for a better future. The reality is in American politics, and I can't speak for other countries, but you look at some of these world leaders and you're like, I don't know how you're getting back and forth to the kitchen politely by yourself. Biden is, it's very sad that we're allegedly the biggest economy. Well, we are the biggest economy, allegedly the world's most powerful country. And we're being led by somebody that I probably would visit every other Saturday in an old folks home if he wasn't president. The Speaker of the House, okay, currently Nancy Pelosi.
Hang on,
I don't even know what's holding her together.
There's Nancy's glass. She wants another tipple, please. good yeah, California. I mean, don't worry about the good stuff. Just make sure it's got a bit of a zing to it.
It's look. This is the sad part. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House at 80-something, is probably, are you ready for this?
I am.
The fourth or fifth youngest, age-wise, there's three or four older than her still in California politics that you don't hear against.
It's a bit creepy.
It's really creepy.
Now, I want to play something because people might think that I'm exaggerating about Joe having a toke or two, but the I'll play you this, and you have to, because you guys, you've given out so much money to Ukraine, which they invest into BTX and they get the dividends back, but I'm not going to say anything like that at all because I could be right. But I'm just thinking that you've given, is because you just asked for $37 billion more for Ukraine, which puts it up to about $90 billion. But and again, he must have been smoking something in the in Bali, because this is what he's done.
In unveiling a $20 billion deal to help wean Indonesia off of coal as he continues to push his green agenda on the world stage.
Together, we hope to mobilizing $20 billion to support Indonesia's efforts to reduce emissions and expand renewable energy. We're at an inflection point. Investments we make today will have far-reaching impact on the world for generations to come.
This funding deal is the single largest climate finance transaction ever.
So, stop it. Put that down, E-man.
There's a lot to unpack there. Want me to unpack it?
Yes, Smoking Joe, and that's he used to be a boxer, but he's now your president.
Let's unpack a few things here. One, it's been slightly misreported by the press that it's $38 billion to Ukraine. It's actually closer to $48 billion because the $12 billion in, quote, humanitary aid isn't included in the figure that they put out. So that's
all up $100 billion.
Yeah, you know, we just throw money around.
Good for inflation.
Now, what's interesting, it's just if who cares, a billion here, a billion there. No, it doesn't really matter anymore. We become immune to these. Mm. But here's the scary part on the horizon, why we keep fighting in all seriousness. So California, which we've now supposedly gone to the fourth biggest economy in the world, because Germany's dropping slightly and we like to brag about we're going up. However, California, with their $100 billion surplus they've had this year, because much is coming from the federal government, is now expected to lose $18 billion this year. Oops. All right. And in next fiscal year, which starts June 2023, conservative estimates say we're going to be $25 billion in the red. Shocking, all this spending when a recession is coming along, people like FTX or, you know, going whatever you want to call it with funny money. What's happening, that $20 billion proposed for Indonesia maybe needed to save California here because we're a pretty big state, which is going to be running in the red, no political puns intended there, from a fiscal point of view, starting next year and expected to continue for 4 to 5 years. So why?
So
Biden probably doesn't know what he's signing. He may not know what he's smoking. Okay. This money that we're handing out to other countries, and God bless them, whatever the need is, we kind of need it at home because we got to eat too. And if we don't eat, we don't produce. And if we don't produce, then we don't get the chance to help these other countries. We used to call it economics. It seems to have been lost a bit in the shuffle here. So my comment on Joe Biden is this, okay? And by the way, I've told you this before. One of the things, you know, next week is Thanksgiving here in the United States, so you probably won't be hearing my cheery voice. And this is the American holiday where we're thankful for things. And this may be shocking to you, but I'm very thankful next week that Joe Biden is still alive, because the vice president, Kamala Harris, is worse, is stupid. Well, she's just stupid. Sorry, I'm going to say it. And more leftist than Biden is, who's just unaware. So as much as we don't like Joe, hang in there, Joe, for another 2 years till we can get Trump back in office. Because, and by the way, if somebody says, well, Harris might just disappear, right now until January when McCarthy takes over, that would be Pelosi third in line. Boy, what a great three chain for the United States off the bench, right? Mm-hmm. So as adept as Joe is and his administration, let's not give Joe too much credit, handing money out back and forth all over the world as the United States economy won't crash, but the revenues in states like New York, leftists, like California, leftists, are going to not meet expectations, which means deficits, which oddly enough are going to match some of the figures that we're just talking about. So hold your smoke or whatever you want to call it, Indonesia. Before we give you money to get rid of coal, we may have to get rid of hunger in California.
I totally agree. I think the it's a longer conversation than we have. Turkey-wise, for Thanksgiving, I'll just pop into Sacramento, pop into Washington. I'm sure there's an abundance of turkeys there, including...
I can't have trouble reading this.
So there you are. That's your president, thank God. Actually, he's our president, too, because he's the president of the free world. Mike Netter, if somebody wants to find out more about your illustrious career and what you can offer
the human mankind. ReBuildCalifornia.com. Let me hit it before we hit off the air. ReBuildCalifornia.com. At Netter Mike on Twitter. And let me tell you something. The election for 2024 starts today as we fight for conservatives to help protect the world and take the United States back.
And thank you very much. This is TNT Radio.